From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, mismatched laundry basket wardrobe idea for the evening, the Polish vampire himself, the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Hey there, Bob. This is the new springtime hoodie slash cape combo. Very popular in France.
It's very popular with French vampires. Yes, yes. Is that correct?
That is very correct, Bob. So we're going with a little trendy look here today. I'm trying to be more hip and current with the millennial vampires out there.
The millennial vampires?
Wait, I am a millennial vampire with the whatever
sort of, if you're, are you a... Are you like the Victorian age vampire? Is that like the rivalry between ages?
Yeah, you could say something like that. You know, it's tough to stay current in today's age. But when you travel through time and space, I guess that's the tough part of keeping hip and current.
We're going to get to your weekend update in just a moment. Because making his triumphant return to my left, the original, the first co-host of Bob After Dark, professional wrestling superstar, paranormal investigator, UFO enthusiast, one of my best friends, my brother, Steve Michaels himself, the master of the Chicago Bear Hug.
Oh, hey there, Bob. It's good to be back.
Okay. Normally, I would skip right to the weekend updates.
Sure.
But I have to type out a thing about sharing this live on my Facebook stuff, and so is Panic.
Always so a professional.
Absolutely. So I need updates from you. We haven't seen you since Christmas. We know you had to kind of part your ways as the full-time guy around here because of your wrestling career.
I did.
And I know your wrestling career has some really cool news, but you have to catch us up to speed to that part.
Okay. So let's see. Last time I was here, I believe it was
Christmas.
It was Christmas, and yes, we talked about a Christmas story.
A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, Christmas. That's what it was. I still haven't studied for that. and that went swimmingly. And but since then, I have been, as I've been doing, traveling the country, wrestling, wrestling weekly at Ohio Valley Wrestling down in Louisville, Kentucky, at the amazing and historic Davis Arena. And just kind of living the dream, living my wrestling dream. And doing what everybody wants to do. So that kind of gets us to today.
Yes.
And recently, it was announced via Ohio Valley Wrestling social media and was shared on the Steve Michaels social media account, facebook.com/Chicago Bear Hug, that Ohio Valley Wrestling has just signed a national television deal. So what that means is Ohio Valley Wrestling every week has been live for the Louisville region, going to about 1.4 million households in just its TV area, live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Well,
that is the best news.
Well, that's what it's been, but now, instead of just being to the 1.4 million, we're going live nationwide on the channel U2 America, which has, I've got it all written down here. It's available on Comcast, Time Warner, Mediacom, and Suddenlink, as well as it's available on Roku streaming. And starting April 3rd, you will be able to watch weekly Ohio Valley Wrestling television It will be called OVW Wrestling. And it's going to be available combining the cable and the streaming to about 43 million households across the U.S. and Puerto Rico. So it's a really huge, huge deal. You're going to now be able to see Steve Michaels on a weekly basis, along with the other stars of Ohio Valley Wrestling, Legacy of Brutality, Tony Bizzo, Corey Storm, sure. Dimes, all these guys, great wrestlers, great workers. But now the world is going to get to see what I've been seeing since September.
That's great. I am so proud of you. And the fact that you're making your semi-public announcement here on Bob After Dark makes me so happy.
Well, I do have a bit more that I haven't smartened you up to yet.
Oh.
And this was, we've gotten the permission to talk about this publicly.
Okay.
So, I am saying this here on your show first.
Before, you hear this? This is a Bob After Dark exclusive.
This is a Bob After Dark exclusive. I haven't mentioned this on my social media accounts yet at all. Our first live national TV taping for OVW Wrestling will take place at the Davis Arena in Louisville, Kentucky on March 31st. And that night, in honor of that event, OVW is hosting a fan appreciation night where everyone that decides to come to the show will receive free admission to the building that night. So they can all be a part of history for the first time ever seeing OVW wrestling. Be aired live, across the country.
Yeah, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, that's great. We'll see what the calendars are like on our ends. Maybe we'll take a trip down to Louisville, depending on what's going on with us. Now, before we get a little carried away, because we really appreciate you sharing that news, and we're so proud of you, and the fact that there's a Bob After Dark legacy who's going on national TV before myself is pretty great. I mean, you could watch us on your smart TVs. Don't get me wrong.
It's
but
national. Bob.
It's national. Thanks, Panic. I appreciate that. Ed, that makes me so happy. Congratulations.
Of course.
We are a paranormal show. So how do you fit into the spectrum of the paranormal? This is, in case this is the first time anybody's ever listening to the show, watching it live or on podcast land. How do you fit into the spectrum of the paranormal biz?
Well, I mean, I took a plane flight with Gangrel once. Is that
that popped all of two people. And then that was me in Panic.
I mean, that's what I live for. So when I used to have free time, I did paranormal investigation. I was a member of the tech team for the team that I belong to, which is now defunct.
Retired.
It's a defunct team. Midwest Paranormal Research Society. I was a member of the tech team, so that meant I was in charge of the cameras and the audio and setting up everything and setting up the equipment, and then in addition to that, going over the evidence that we had.
Yes.
And analyzing the audio and the video evidence.
When you guys send over your photos to the Bob After Dark page, any kind of ghostly sightings or things you can't explain, chances are 99.9% of the time Steve sees them. Well, Steve will either see them first or I'll see them first. And Steve's probably the first one on the team to get it analyzed from a scientific perspective. And he'll always give a good example. Steve's also a UFO enthusiast. We talked about that several times on the show.
I am a fan of UFOs.
Yeah. And the culture surrounding
that. Yeah, I mean, that's always been intriguing to me, and we've discussed that on the show multiple times. But actually, to go back to that point about the analyze,
yes,
analyzing what you send in, I actually take a lot of joy in seeing what the listeners and what the fans of the show send in to the Bob After Dark page.
Yes,
because some of the stuff is kind of interesting, and some of it is potentially paranormal. Some of it has a logical explanation.
But either way, Steve dust off the cobwebs.
Yeah, no, either way, it's great to see the enthusiasm of the Bob After Dark fan base.
Oh, thank you.
The bobbleheads.
That's a toss.
That's a throwback. and to be able to look and then conversely to, and more importantly, actually to help them by saying, well, this is what it potentially could be. This is what I think it is, by analyzing it from a scientific point of view, as opposed to, oh my gosh, it's a ghost kind of point of view.
Because you need to have your base in some sort of reality.
Right. And I think that's what actually why we work so well as a team.
Absolutely.
Is because, you know, you're more of a believer than a skeptic.
Yes.
And I am more of a skeptic than a believer.
Then that is why we make the best 2020 Laurel and Hardy you'll ever meet. Anthony is taking the night off. He had to take care of some paranormal business. He'll be back with us next week, so make sure you guys tell Anthony oi. Let's get Panic's weekend update.
You know what? My weekend was pretty good there, Bob. I did some cool things around the region with him.
That's a great description. I did some cool things.
A couple of things. Oh, taste of the region, of course. Vampires.
Did you eat something good?
Vampires need to eat, so I was eating some delicious stuff there, all for charity. So thanks again to people at Taste of the Region there at Halls of St. George and Cherville, Gloria Morris, and the Service League do a great job with charity events. But this conversation has me thinking here, Bob.
Yeah, hit me, Panic.
Steve, congrats once again.
Thank you.
This is a big deal.
Thank
you. Bob.
Yes.
You never officially retired.
Okay, we're moving on.
Steve, one more match.
We're moving on.
I think Panic brings up a good point.
We're
here,
moving
Bob.
On. Okay, so my weekend update. I actually enjoyed a very interesting weekend. Saturday night, me and the Queen of the Night actually hosted Dr. Ben Vanerson and some of the Displains Ghostbusters. We sat around a campfire and told some ghost stories. And then yesterday I did nothing other than day job stuff. So it wasn't that exciting. And then we talked on the phone and you're like, hey, I'm in town. You're doing the show tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, that's in reality, isn't that pretty much how I've always appeared on the show?
Absolutely.
I'm like, hey, man, I got nothing going on tomorrow.
Do you remember the time travel episode from last year? It's like, you're like, oh, I'm just going to sit around and wait for Bob After Dark to start. I'm like, do you just want to come on the show? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's unfortunately why I arrived so late, is because I wasn't planning on being there, and then I got there halfway through the show, and I am so sorry about not getting there earlier for that show.
You were there anyway. So if this is your first time ever watching Bob After Dark live with us on the Facebook or listening to us on the radio or on your Roku Smart TV, Apple Smart TV thing, sure. Or if this is your first time ever listening to us on Podcast Land, what is Bob After Dark? It is a podcast where we cover legends, lore, supernatural, and we cover some spooky / weird news stories of the week. Sometimes my co-hosts come prepared with a spooky news article of the week, and sometimes they come prepared to talk about the lore of the week. Sometimes they don't. And then they just fluff the episode with just banter about absolutely nothing.
Why,
like the history of Davy Jones from the Monkees.
Why I feel very persecuted right
yes.
now.
Yes. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave a 5-star review and leave a nice review. We do listen and read all of those, and we read off the best comments. We just got a 5-star review in the other day.
There you go.
And I quote from anonymously. Not me, I promise. Anonymously left us a 5-star review and said, smooth listening, great topics, I get educated, Bob needs to stop being scared of dolls.
Oh, good, you got my...
Are you anonymously?
I do a lot of things.
So thank you guys so much for tuning into Bob After Dark, and we really appreciate it. And it's kind of cool to be here with Steve again. I missed having you around.
It's like old times, man.
It is.
I mean,
I love having Anthony around, don't get me wrong, but it's pretty cool.
But he's no Steve Michaels.
I love Anthony.
I do too, but he's no Steve Michaels.
Well, you're also no Anthony.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true.
And nobody is Panic.
No,
that's true.
Panic is the workhorse of the show. Little do you guys, Panic,
dark horse.
You know, these days though, because back in the old days, Panic had to run from like corner to corner to answer phones. Everything's set up around him. Let's do a couple really cool announcements before we start the show. Announcement one: we talked about it a little last week. Bob After Dark has been officially booked for Anime Detour in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is going to be my first time ever going to the Great North.
It's a wonderful state. I've been to Minnesota.
Mm.
I've actually been to Minneapolis.
Oh, I'm going to Mall of America for my first time. I'm going to see what that's like.
It's not that exciting, but it's a big mall.
I'm going to go.
I've been there.
I'm going to see if I could track down Charles Schulz's animation studio so I can go see where he drew Charlie Brown.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, so that's the plan. An anime detour of that.
If you go about 2 hours west or an hour and a half west.
Yeah.
Biggest wine ball in Minnesota is out there.
That's exciting. Thanks for telling me.
Honest to God.
Thanks biggest for telling
me. I took an hour and a half drive through through cornfields in Minnesota to see the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. And do you know what the biggest like rub for the whole thing was?
What's that? It's not the biggest ball of twine in America, is it?
I don't know about that, but the building was closed when I got there.
Jeez,
they were renovating the building at the time. I mean, it's outside under like a giant gazebo, and it's encased in glass.
Sorry, folks. Moose, did you read the Moose?
Yeah, I do. Like, I get there and I go. I'm like, oh, let me check out the museum. And like the doors open. I like peek in, and there's like people just on ladders painting the building. And I'm like, oh, and they're like, sorry, we're closed. I was like, oh. I mean, I kind of came here from Chicago, and they're like, oh, well, we'll give you a little tour if you want. And so they gave me like a mini, like private tour, and I had to step over like paint tarps and stuff.
That's the best experience.
But I mean, it was neat. I got to see the biggest twine ball in Minnesota.
Excellent. So I'll be at Anime Detour Minneapolis Friday night at 11 o'clock in the Green Room. I think that's the name of it. I'll be at, I'll post up the deets, but I'll be there for Anime Detour doing a panel and then hanging around Minneapolis the rest of the weekend doing some paranormal investigations while I am there. Also, next quick big announcement, the team, including Steve, because he's here, is going to be doing a USO show. We're going to be going to the Great Lakes Naval Academy in Waukegan. We're going to go do a paranormal investigation as the very first paranormal investigation group ever. We're going to do an investigation of the USO building on base. We're going to go tell the sailors some ghost stories about military ghost stories, which is going to be fascinating. And then at the very end, we're going to be doing a private investigation of the private quarters on the base. And we are going to be, like I said, this is really cool. I was very excited when we got the invite. I'm flabbergasted, and it's really cool to announce that we're going to be doing something for the USO. Obviously, that's not open to the public, so we're going to get as much video footage as we possibly can to be able to share it with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of logistical issues we've got to deal with there, because it is going to be on a military base, which means that it is a secure facility.
Yes.
and there is there's clearance issues and all that. So we may or may not be able to post videos of certain things. It really all depends on what the
we're
people in charge are telling us we can do. So.
But we'll get as much as we possibly can. At least in the very least, we'll get some photos to share with you guys.
It's a huge opportunity. It's a really huge, huge deal thing.
And then I told Steve about it, and Steve was all about it. So I'm like, Steve, I need you to come out of retirement for one last investigation, even though he's know he's going to do more. That's like the one investigation where he's like, oh, I'll be there. I'll
yeah, I mean, look, it's you got a hold of me. I was backstage at a show, and I was like, whatever the date is, I'll make it work. Because, look, it's the military. You know, these are people that are going to go to war for us to protect us. And the least that we can do is, you know, entertain them just a little bit, show them, you know, paranormal investigation, teach them a little bit of lore. And at the end of the day, we get to do something that not a whole lot of paranormal investigators ever get to do, which is investigate an active military installation.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So
didn't Bob Hope do that, though?
He didn't investigate, but we're literally following in the footsteps. Of
he did go entertain the troops.
Bob Hope actually did a show at the base we're going to. His jacket from when he was touring is on display at the USO base.
That's cool. Pretty cool. Yeah.
And we're going to see if we can contact Bob Hope's ghost.
I will show up with a golf club.
I've already got plans to show up at the golf club. My name's Bob. It's Bob After Dark. Bob.
I guess. Do you know what? It's your thing. I appreciate it's your
show. Last bit of thing I want to announce, we're still working out the final kinks of it, is this is the first time really anybody's hearing about it. I know this isn't your first time hearing about it. I talked about it in passing, and then we're going to actually get to the show, is the Bob After Dark Stuff and Ecto event. We are doing a Stuff and Ecto event at the old WJOB radio station. And during that day, we're going to have four podcasts do a 5-hour long radio stream. Like what, how you guys catch our show, you're going to have four other paranormal podcasts there with us doing live streams. We're going to have the Windy City Ghostbusters out for it, and people are going to be able to come out, bring school supplies to stuff the Ecto with, and we're going to go donate the school supplies to one of the inner cities right here in Northwest Indiana and South Side of Chicago. Because my whole thought logic behind it was, what's the scariest time of year for a kid? Going back to school. And what's even scarier than that? Having crummy hand-me-down school supplies. So we're going to be doing that. There's more details, plenty of details to follow about that. The only thing I'm 100% able to announce right now is that Ghostly Podcast is going to be there. I'm going to make sure you're there. It's that is going to be Saturday, May 23rd. And the other thing is that is going to be the Mothman episode.
Ooh.
For Bob After Dark. You guys have been waiting for it. I've been teasing it. So we're going to be doing the Mothman episode.
Bringing out the big guns.
Yes. All right. Let's dive right into the lore of the week. No, I'm sorry. Not lore of the week. The spooky news stories of the week. Hey, I'm skipping
ahead. There's a lot of housekeeping to get.
Yes. Steve.
What?
Do you have a news article?
Do
you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay.
You go do your thing, and then I will figure something out.
Okay, so our first bit of news comes to us from Italy. Have you ever been to Italy?
I have not, but they just closed down the entire country to air travel, so.
Yep. Okay, so
not going there anytime soon.
Residents of a small Italian village witnessed a miracle the other day when they turned on their water taps to see Lambrusco sparkling red wine coming out of the faucet instead of water. No, it wasn't a biblical interference, but the wine company accidentally spilled a barrel of wine into the water supply of the village, which I'm going to butcher the name of, but it's the Emily Romaga village. Can you imagine waking up and this the photo, I'll post it up on the Bob After Dark page. The photo literally looked like Ghostbusters 2 when Dana turned on the bathtub and it was the mood slime coming out of it. Mm-hmm. They turned on their faucet and it wasn't red, but it was like a almost like pinkish red. And it literally was coming out of the faucet like that. And that was the first thing my mind went to. I was like, oh my God, it's mood slime. But can you imagine just being like, I wonder what that is? And of course you're bored and your water's coming out a different color. You're going to take a little cup to it. You're going to taste it and be like, oh, that's wine.
Yeah. That's really the dream, isn't it? to open up your tap and then, it's not water. It's like, oh my gosh, it's wine.
Anthony, thank you so much for chiming into the chat and saying I butchered the language. I appreciate it. Oh, Anthony knows the village, actually. Funny enough. Hashtag panics take.
It's funny because the same thing happened to me in an Olive Garden bathroom one time.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Are you making that up?
No.
You went to wash your hands.
I did.
And there was wine coming out.
It was beautiful. I think that's the thing they do at Olive Gardens from time to time.
I don't think that's how that works.
Well, no. I mean, when you're there, you're family.
Yeah.
Olive Garden, sponsor us.
They've got great breadsticks.
Oh, they do.
They're endless, too.
Endless breadsticks, endless salad and
although,
soup, right?
They do kick you out after a certain point, I think.
I mean, I've never reached that point.
So
I wonder if it's like a 2-hour limit, like most of the Chinese buffets. Like, you get the salad. I've been kicked out of those places.
All right, so what is your take on it? Because when they first turned it on, they thought the end of times were upon us and Christ is walking again because
right.
water to wine.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine just waking up being like...
Yeah, I mean, that would be literally the greatest morning of my life. I would be like, I'm taking a bath. And then just take a bath and wine. Like, that'd be neat. I wouldn't be able to drive anywhere because I'd be like, oh, I'm on my, you know, fifth bottle of water today. And... but...
Okay. Moving on. You ready for your new story? No.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You do your thing. Come back. It's fine. Like, you, look.
By the way, I have to correct that date on the Stuff and Ecto event. It's May 30th. Saturday, May 30th.
Okay. Well, now I got to change my calendar.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. So there was a new science study that says not only can dogs pick out scents, like, you know, have a really keen smell to things, then they have kind of a sixth sense when it comes to being able to tell before things happen. Dogs able to, you know, tell when a panic attack is coming on before it happens. Sometimes they say dogs are able to pick up when earthquakes are about to happen and other ties to paranormal and stuff. They mean dogs have the sense of picking up a ghost, et cetera, et cetera. They're saying now that dogs are able to smell the heat given off of an object, which gives them sometimes the better idea of where their nose should go.
Interesting.
Yep. So the scientists responsible for this set up thermal cameras where they put several objects in the room that would give off no heat, something with a little bit, and then something with a lot. And they buried it in the room and they had it set up where they could see where it was underground, etc. And the dog would go and dig up the thing just based off a scent alone, and it would go after the big one every single time. And their conclusion is saying that, and I'm going to butcher this name, the rhyrium, which is the small furless area around your nostrils that occur on mammals, because it's smoother on a dog and more pressed out, that is responsible for them being able to smell heat. That's huge, actually, because if a dog's able to pick up on something like that, can you imagine what else they're able to smell out and pick up on as well? It's pretty big.
Yeah, that's kind of impressive, actually. I mean, that's like, I don't think anyone could ever, you know, really thought of that as, like, you can smell heat, you know? Like, I mean, that's just a weird, that's like, I can smell colors. It's that kind of, like,
yes,
logic. But, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Hashtag panic steak.
You know what? Dogs are pretty impressive when you really think about it at the end of the day. Although, you know, most dogs in my neighborhood, they won't go that far. They usually just bark at me and chase after me. But this is way more impressive than that. I mean, these are smart dogs we're dealing with here. Like, kind of like a, would you say they have like a radar of almost built inside them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dogs are literally a paranormal investigator's best friend, and now they're even becoming more useful.
Isn't it? But animals in general, right? Are dogs the most... Dogs see things that we can't see.
Yes. But I will argue, now that I'm around cats more than I ever have been in my life, cats have this weird sight thing where they just peer off into nothing and you wonder exactly what they're looking at. I can promise you the cats probably have that same sort of sight, but dogs interact with it more. You ever see like the videos of the dogs barking
at
nothing?
That's because cats don't care.
No, they really don't. Cats like, yeah, that's a demon. I saw one yesterday.
Whatever, it's not going to feed me.
So, you get the idea.
Yeah.
How come we don't have a dog when we go on investigations?
I mean, you have a dog, don't you?
I do, yeah, Ben.
We could bring Ben with.
Yeah, that's true. He likes
Anderson?
To smell things.
No, Ben Panic.
The dog, my dog's name is Ben.
Oh, okay, I thought we meant like we were going to put a leash on. Do you know what? We'll talk about that later.
How's his nose? Can he sniff out?
Oh, Ben can sniff out a cigar.
You give him a couple drinks, and he'll be able to sniff out whatever you want.
Whatever you need. But Ben could probably... Anyway, moving on. Okay, are you ready?
Never, but yes.
Okay. Steve's one news article, because I'm assuming you brought one.
I did.
Okay.
You know, look, normally... I show up, I do my thing, I'm just kind of whatever. But I actually have one.
Okay.
So a couple days ago, NASA airs live streams of the cameras from the International Space Station.
Oh, that's always cool.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
except this one video that was released features approximately 20 minutes where framed up in the camera is a cone-shaped object.
Oh!
And what makes it even more interesting is the camera, which is controlled by NASA, zooms in on the object because
they don't
know what it is.
Huh.
So for about 20 minutes, this cone-shaped object, and I will post a picture of a screenshot of this object, is seen locked on by this camera. It's not believed to be space debris, because there'd be no reason for them to be that focused on it for 20 minutes. They could analyze it and be like, that's what it is. There is speculation, however, that it could potentially be a U.S. Air Force classified mission. They have an orbital test vehicle that is currently on a mission.
Sure.
But it is classified. So no one knows where it's at, what its positioning is, what it's doing. So that's a possible explanation for what it is. But if that is the case,
yes,
NASA would not most likely release that footage,
right?
Knowing that this is
a top secret
classified vehicle. So that's something that's kind of intriguing. Every now and then you find this weird kind of video footage from NASA. And what kind of makes this whole video more intriguing is that at 20 minutes, the video cuts. They cut the stream from this camera.
Oh.
So NASA cuts the live stream from this camera after about 20 minutes when presumably they realize that what it is or that it's still streaming live. So
someone got fired.
It happens more often than you would think on NASA live streams, where bizarre objects will kind of come through frame, and usually you're able to tell if it's space junk or if it's a satellite or whatever, just because of positioning, and you're able to track all that stuff down. Most larger pieces of space junk, and a lot of people don't know this, are actually tracked by NASA. Just because they've got the space station up there and they've got satellites and they need to make course corrections and adjustments.
Right, yeah.
So they don't get hit by these.
Right.
So the fact that, you know, you kind of combine all these things together, and it's a very interesting scenario.
How big is the cone?
It doesn't...
I'm assuming they probably don't go into details.
No,
big?
It seems large. But it's whatever it is, it's essentially keeping pace with the space station, which is traveling at about 8 kilometers a second.
That's kind of fast.
So it's moving quick.
Huh.
But for 20 minutes, they've got this thing on video.
Well, thank you for bringing that article in.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You want to ask Kim?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I've never done this before.
Yeah, you get to do it.
Okay. All right. I hope I don't screw this up.
No.
Hashtag panic take.
Oh, thanks, Steve, for that. Hey, I was just thinking how tough it must be to work at NASA, you know, because, like, you probably get all these secrets, but who can you tell? You can't go home and tell your friends and family. You're trusted with these secrets. So think about how hard that is to work for a company like that. Like, like, if you work for NASA, would you tell your friends?
I would be dead instantly. Hey, guys, welcome to Bob After Dark Tell All.
Like,
what's going on with the feet? It's cutting in and out. Just come back, and there's a man sitting here that's just
like
me.
And then Bob's just hunched over the table.
There's another person sitting here that looks just like me, talks like me. It's like,
I am Bob.
It is now canceled.
Bob After Dark is now finished. Good night.
but like, honestly, if you work there, that's got to be a tough gig.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, that goes for any kind of government, like, gig. like that FBI.
No, it's,
you know,
it's true. I dated a girl for a couple of years that had a security clearance, and she wasn't able to tell me, like, talk at all about her job. Wow. It was kind of weird.
How do they find out? Do they spy on you the whole time? Like, hey, this person told this person.
No, I mean,
if it gets out.
Yeah, I mean, if stuff that's classified that requires certain clearances and so only certain people are working on set programs, yes, they can track that down and figure out.
For example, that reminds me of a story I caught, and I'll tell this real fast because it's off topic, but this guy was working for NASA or an offshoot, like he was a contractor or whatever. This guy broke in and stole actual moon rocks. Like legitimate rocks that they took from the moon, and he put it up on Craigslist. And now, you know, it got back to this, you know, this big rock collector in the world, right? And he contacted NASA and he said, you know, normally I would jump at this opportunity, but, and they looked into it and he's like, well, how'd you know it was me? It's like, well, you kind of got the keys to the janitor's closet where we keep the moon rock. So,
by the way, I am selling moon rocks myself. If anybody wants to contact me, I got a bunch of
them. And that is how Bob After Dark gets canceled by the United States government.
Oh, when we go do that tour, we'll have to ask if we can learn some secrets.
Maybe. Absolutely. Yeah, and then we get shot on site.
They'll tell us, and then you will never hear from us again.
Bob After Dark has been canceled. Have a good night.
Oh, hello there. Welcome to Bob After Dark. This will be our last episode.
We are going to watch Birds. All right, folks, let's dive right into the lore of the week. Did you know that you can call in on our show? Did you know that you can ask myself, Steve Michaels, or Panic questions? Did you know that you can say hi at any time? That's really weird that a phone call came in right when I was saying that.
And fun fact, I will answer anything. Literally anything.
Behave. 219-845-1100. If you are listening to us in podcast land and this is your first time ever tuning in, your
then
phone
you can't
calls,
call in.
You can call in. You'll just be calling in when we do our live segments and you can hear yourself later for the podcast. All right, who do we got on the air?
We have John on the air.
As always, our first caller of the evening, John, is on the air. Hello, John.
Hey, John.
Oh, hey there, Bob and Steve.
Oh, hey there, John.
Good to hear from you.
How are you?
Pretty good. You know what? It seems like when I call, it seems like it was just a couple days ago, to be honest with you. I don't know if that, you know, is the same with you guys. I mean, you know, a week goes by so fast that really, it seems like it was just a couple days ago that I called you guys.
Oh, well, you know what it is, John? It's your excitement waiting between episodes.
It probably is.
What's on your mind tonight, John?
I'd ask Steve, when he says he's an analytic, are you saying that, you know, this is, in your paranormal investigation, this is a specialty of yours, or is this something, you know, that being a paranormal investigator, can you expound a little bit in that? I mean, are you analyzing things that you have experienced in a investigation or on social media or something that is brought specifically to your attention?
Yeah. So, I can go into a little bit more detail on that. Basically, in the case with my participation on the back end of Bob After Dark, to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit, my basic job is when people send in the photos, I analyze them, and what that means is I'll look at them and through my knowledge of scientific practices and through my knowledge of photos and things of that nature, I can look at certain things and say, you know, for example, a photo of an orb that's got sides to it, that's not circular, a non-circular orb. I can usually say, okay, that's dust. That's going to be, you know, something other than something potentially paranormal. You know, I mean, I had been doing paranormal investigation for about 13 years before our team basically called it quits. So I've had a lot of time to analyze photos and to see a lot of different types of anomalies on footage and on video. So I've been able to see, you know, okay, this looks like this might be a figure on this video footage or on this photo, but when you really look at it, you can tell that it's in reality it's just a bug that's going through, and there's wings and the body and it's, you know, so that's kind of my job, you know. And if I'm able to go through and look at these photos and rule out the other possibilities, and then I can say, okay, well, I've looked at it. It's not dust. It's not water. It's not smoke. It's not, you know,
bug.
It's not a bug. It's not any of these other traditional external factors. Then odds are this is something more. It's paranormal by the very definition. Beyond normal.
Right.
Okay, so, I got you. But does it take you sometimes a little time to make a decision, or you know, maybe you look at it one day and then you'll say, well, you know what, let me the next day go ahead and, you know, analyze it again? Or do you quickly make a decision on, you know, whether whatever you're seeing there?
Usually, and again, just because of how long I've done it, usually I can take a look and within about 5-10 minutes I can usually figure out and break down what it probably is. Now, like video footage, if we get a video of something, that may take me a little bit longer because then I have to go frame by frame and do a little bit more in-depth study of it. But most photographs, I can kind of within the first 5-10 minutes, you know, rule out what it is or what it isn't.
Okay, very interesting, and good luck in that wrestling career of yours.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in, John. We appreciate it.
All right, see ya.
Do you want to be like John? You can call us at 219-845-1100, but let's dive into the lore of the week. I am so proud of you for being able to drink water without creating a big hassle of a noise. Anyway, so lore of the week.
I've been doing this a bit.
Lore of the week. We are in the second week of March, which means we are covering my favorite month of the year, Faelore Month, which is where we sit down and we talk about the fae, fairy, or house spirit, Celtic lore things, right? This is my favorite bit of lore from the all year round because it's so different, right? You hear ghost stories and all across the world, you hear cryptid sightings, but you don't necessarily hear about fairy sightings. You might just roll them out. But believe it or not, fae lore and fae legends actually date back a long, long time. And people confuse them with angels, people confuse them with aliens, people confuse them with ghosts. When in reality, what a fairy or fae is they're their own entity that follows their own rules. We talked about it last week on the Dolahan episode. But this week, we're going to be talking about probably one of the most common cases of fae lore, and I think probably the most commonly misrepresented creatures in the fae. This week, we're going to be talking about the brownie. And before we begin, I'm going to pass it over to Steve so he can get this joke out right now.
What?
I know exactly what you're going to do. I am using my psychic intelligence, my intuition, that you brought a recipe for brownies to share on the show, and not the fairy type, but the dessert type.
No, I am offended, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, are you?
By the fact that you think I would do such a ridiculous, hacky kind of a joke.
Oh.
Like, come to your show.
Oh.
Look, I haven't been here since Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And you think I'm going to just show up and be like, here's a recipe for brownies.
Oh.
Do you know?
Okay, I'll take it back. I'm sorry. I thought that's what I was expecting.
Look, I'm just saying, like, I'm better than that.
Okay, that's fair. I'm sorry that I did that.
Yeah, but I mean, since you mentioned it, I do actually have a decent recipe for brownies. So I'm just gonna you know, since you suggested it, I wasn't going to do this at all. But you know, what the heck? Here we are. So,
you have 10 seconds.
Well, I mean,
you can post it up on the Bob After Dark page.
Okay, so you're going to need soft butter, flour, 4 large eggs, 1 cup sugar sifted, 1 cup brown sugar sifted, 8 ounces melted butter.
Okay, you're done.
No,
Share it to the Bob After Dark page.
It's really good. These are delicious.
Okay, share it to the Bob After Dark page.
Deal.
Brownies. That's...
Deal.
Failure right. Brownies.
There we go.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to start the episode off.
Steve, did you say 2 butter?
No, stop. Okay, cut it.
No, it's just soft butter. It's fine. Okay, it'll be on the page.
Moving on. I'm going to start this off with a story. You're pulling in your home from a long shift. It was a long 12 hours. You had 2 call-offs. A mountain of paperwork is at your desk. Maybe your day started off with you waking up to see your phone had a bunch of text messages saying, come in ASAP. And you just look at the area around you in your home. Your dog looks at you sad. There's piles of dirty dishes, a rug that needs vacuumed. Newspapers are piling up. I know people don't really read newspapers anymore, but just bear with me. And it's not that you're a messy person, but you've just gotten behind on your day-to-day chores. And you realize you're not about to get any of it done today either. So you go to work, you suffer, and you dread going home to the home that is not done with chores. You pull up, you walk in, and lo and behold, your home is clean. What happened, you may say? You look at the dog, and the dog looks just as surprised as you are. You know the dog probably didn't gain sentience to clean up the house. No, my friends, what you just dealt with was a visit. Potentially from a brownie, not the pastry. A brownie is a household spirit found in Faelor, generally described as a shaggy-haired little person, 1 meter tall, sometimes dressed in shabby brown clothes, and sometimes naked. A brownie's attach themselves to a particular household or farm. They come out at night to complete the tasks left unfinished by servants or farm laborers. Tending the livestock, threshing grain, reaping crops, cleaning the house and the barns, churning butter, and taking care of numerous other chores. In return, the other people living in the home are supposed to leave out something like a bowl of cream. Do not offer your brownie any form of payment other than the cream, because if you do, the brownie would leave forever. Now I know what you're thinking. Bob, these don't sound so bad. You talk about way worse, scarier things. These things actually sound pretty normal. You're a show about dark and spooky things. What about dark and spooky things has anything to do with Dobby the Elf from Harry Potter, which is...
Yeah, what about the dark and spooky things has to do with Dobby the Elf from Harry Potter?
It's basically Dobby. Dobby is more or less a brownie. Like everything else, brownies have a dark side. When badly criticized, the brownie becomes mischievous and potentially violent. Also, they do not particularly like lazy housekeepers. They are said to punish those who do not keep a clean home. If you have a brownie that hangs on around your house and it cleans up after you and you decide to remess it, the brownie may start off by doing things like, I'm going to hide your car keys. I'm going to misplace... You have that like weird cat stare thing going on where you were just looking like right behind me into the nothing.
No, there's the windows behind you. There's actually stuff going on. Okay, no problem. Sorry. No, it's fine. Continue.
Okay, I gotcha. So they'll punish you by hiding your keys, hiding your wallet, or just generally putting things wrong places in the house, turning chairs over. If you keep doing it, they'll start doing things like breaking dishes, kicking your cat, poisoning the house. Things get worse.
So they're like horrible, like drunk house guests.
No, because they don't drink at all. In fact, you're not supposed to drink with a brownie. Do you want to know why?
Please.
If you accept an alcoholic beverage from a brownie, you will automatically become drunk, pass out, and wake up in the Feyland never to be able to return.
Question. Follow-up question.
Answer.
Wow. Is the Feyland terrible?
Yeah, you don't want to go there.
What is it like? Is it like...
We don't know. We just know that people don't return.
Right, when you but go I there. Mean, it
it's
could,
not a good place to be.
I mean, it could if no one's returned. I mean, it could be like Disney.
No, it's not. There's been people that can look into it, like the bare like outer areas of it, and it's chaos, and it's not for a place for humans to go. Fae thrive on trying to get humans to take their form and to replace others, so they like to kidnap babies for that reason.
There's just like a lot of babies, just like screaming, crying babies.
More than that, and just people being tortured and eaten.
It's like a spirit flight.
Spirit, sponsor us. And they also, like I said, they're just like any other fae creature. They have a very trickster attitude. There is a story of a farmhand who was talking to a brownie one night because he apparently had a good conversation with it. And the brownie thought, I'll tell you what, I like you a lot. If you can touch, he made a pot of gold appear. If you can reach out and touch this pot of gold, I'll let you keep it. And the farmhand would reach out to touch the pot of gold. And every time he'd do it and get close, the pot of gold would turn into a pot of dead leaves instead. Yes. People are chiming in the chat saying, am I a brownie because I drink a lot?
Yes, you might be. You might be.
We were talking about the wine, and you're not supposed to accept it because the brownies really just want to take you back to the Fae realm, which is not a good place to be. The other downside of having a brownie in your home is that you may draw the unpleasant crowd. You see, the problem with having a little house spirit going to your home and taking care of all of your chores for you and probably doing it better than you is your homestead or your farm is going to start becoming very, very more productive than the other people. So let's say Steve has a farm and he starts selling corn at an okay rate. And then Bob has a farm and my farm is now growing corn and being able to be shucked and ready to go twice as fast.
Then I burn your farm down.
That's exactly what my point.
Yeah.
Farmhands, and this is a real thing, farmhands would go, and because they believed that there was a brownie at foot, they started going and they would form an angry mob and basically go burn down a farm. The other thing is that maybe they would go and confront the brownie itself and say, here, thanks for helping out. And they give him a quarter. And now the brownie's gone forever. And now they're going to try their best to go leave out bowls of cream. My basic answer to this is beware the living. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. No,
do you have anything to add to this, by the way?
I'm still a little bit confused as to why the drinking is so bad.
They basically drug you.
Right. But I mean, why is that a thing that they do?
Fae thrive on kidnapping people. Us as adults, we're a little smarter, so we're going to put up a fight. But Fae really like kidnapping babies. The reason being is because it's the story of Rumpelstiltskin, right? He took up the baby, or even that movie Labyrinth. Jareth is basically a Fae.
Okay.
The idea is that they want a baby to take over the form of a Fae and basically grow their ranks. And us as humans, we provide them food as adult humans. So they may want to take a person into the fairy realm and then eat them and torture them. You get a good Fae on this side. They're not so bad. You feed them cream. They do your house chores. And it's a nice copacetic relationship. But on the back of their minds, they're like, why don't you come drink with us and, you know, we're going to go take you back. We're going to take your kids and we're going to go make them brownies themselves. And then we're going to probably eat and torture you.
Oh, pretty fair trade.
That's why, that's a true story. This is why I sleep with an iron crowbar next to my bed for Fae. I'm not lying to you. I literally sleep with an iron crowbar because I don't want to deal with them. I'm not getting dragged to the fairy realm.
I'm just now picturing you at home with a weird like Home Alone scenario with like you know a bunch of traps set up. And
it's I watched a movie.
Paint cans.
Watched a movie recently called Darkness. Not Darkness Falls. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark or whatever it is. It's about the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah,
and it's actually really horrifying, and they knock the lore out of the park. It's absolutely correct. And now, see, I'd be a little smarter than that family. I'd be laying fey traps and running around with an iron crowbar, beating up things. Also, fun fact about the brownies, and Becky just chimed in about this in the chat. They, the Girl Scouts, like hierarchy, they start off as a brownie. They're actually named after these little house spirit things.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
They've got really good cookies, though.
Oh, they do, absolutely. Brownies are really sensitive creatures. Things set them off real quick. And if you make them angry, like, the one thing you could really do to anger a brownie other than leaving a very messy house is criticizing their work. This is going to tick these little things off to no end. So now they're going from, instead of like leaving your house, if you pay them or maybe you insulted them a little bit, now they're going to stick around and start causing poltergeist activity. And stories say that stones will be flying through the air in the home. If you opened up a book, all the pages would fly through and the book would shut on the end and you wouldn't actually physically be able to open the book. I'm doing it on camera. You open up your notebook and just imagine all the pages flying and it just closes. Weird sounds of wooden shoes running through empty homes. Like if you're home alone by yourself and you just hear up above you with the sound of wooden clogs. And then probably
that's just a day living in Denmark.
Or probably the scariest of all. Imagine having a fireplace with a fire going, and you start seeing hands reaching down from the chimney, like, opening into the fire, reaching out to you to try to pull you into the fire.
Yeah, that would be weird. I wouldn't like that.
And, of course, trying to lead small children to their death or kidnapping into the fairy realm. Steve, do you have anything to add to the fae lore?
Aren't they usually, like, male, though?
They are. There is one story of, typically they're male, there are some female. There was one, mostly female brownies are found in Scotland. There's the one, Betty the Brown, I believe her name was, and she was just another brownie, but she was...
It's an apt name.
Yeah, brownie, I think her name was Betty, jeez, I wrote this down, I just closed it up, but yeah, they're mostly male creatures, but there are some stories of women brownies, but that's mostly Scotland lore.
No studying.
Oh, absolutely. So, did you learn something?
I did.
Do you have anything else to add other than they're mostly male? I left things out intentionally for you.
Oh, no, I mean, that's terrific. You did, look, it's your show, I'm the guest. I don't want to show up and just be like, look at me, I know everything about fairies. And like that would take away from what is Bob.
Oh, thank
so,
you.
So, I'm, you know, I've decided I'd pull it back a little bit and just kind of, you know, just add on to the Bob After Dark experience.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
But yeah, so they are mostly found in all across like England, Ireland, Scotland, but the Irish and the Celtics are the ones that basically started the whole concept of what a brownie is. And of course, because they are fae, there's the trickster nature to them, like leprechauns or banshees or pooka, or not as horrifying as last week, but you get the idea. Did you listen to last week's episode about the Duel of Han?
I did not.
Okay, of course you didn't. Panic, let's hear your take on the on brownies.
You know, you actually said not as horrifying as last week's. I think these are worse than last week's, personally.
Why is that?
But last week, what was the main selling point? You could beat them up with gold, right? So these ones seem like they're a little more menacing than last week's, dare I say. Wouldn't you get that? Or you feel like it's different? You think these ones are less menacing?
As far as scariness and the scariness concept of a fae, I would tell you that the fae absolutely horrify me more than most cryptids or like ghost stories, because as I was talking about in last week's episode, the fae really follow their own rules. You can't just sage away a fae. You can't like pull a gun out and shoot away a Fey, unless you have iron bullets, I guess. They have their own rules. They have their own laws. They have their own, you know, they have their own hierarchy, which we're going to touch base on that next week, so stick around for that stuff. They're their own thing, and most times they come off real nice and sweet, like in the Disney movies. You hear about fairy circles where there's this little circle of mushrooms, and then you step in it, and then you get teleported to basically hell, where you're getting tortured and murdered by these little things with wings. Yeah, Tinkerbell has a dark side, man. Because the brownie in nature is a very, like, relaxed thing, and as long as you don't criticize it, and as long as you don't wreck its, like, mess that it already made, I think you're in pretty good standing. Now, the Duolahan, that's a horrifying story. Imagine being whipped in an eye by a spinal cord whip by a dude in a chariot made out of body parts. You would know this if you listened to last week's episode.
No, I mean, that sounds like a typical Friday night for me.
Almost just spit my water out everywhere. So you think the brownies are scarier?
I think the brownies are scarier.
Why is that? Or because they're just like a bunch of little tiny people running around?
I think that gives us the impression. But
here's a good rule of thumb. Rule of thumb, by the way, before we let you continue there. One house, one brownie. You don't have multiple brownies in households. It's typically one house, one brownie.
Oh, interesting. Well, that maybe change. I could probably take one.
I don't have a.
How do you defeat this?
I would like to see that fight.
All right, let's make it happen.
I'm going to book that.
Set it
up. I'm a book.
I'm going over.
Count Panic versus a brownie. Versus a brownie.
Oh boy, that's
pretty good.
You have to summon money. One first.
That's fine. I'll do it. It's money. That's money there.
If you give a brownie money, they disappear.
No. I mean, that's money for me.
Oh.
I booked that.
I don't have an answer for you on how to take down a brownie like I did last week.
Oh, no. See, that's the bad part. At least I know how I could defeat
you. The idea is you don't want to defeat a brownie in battle because you don't want it to get to that point where it turns into like a bog rat, which was something I left out of the lore. Bog rats are basically when the brownie turns bad because you angered it. So the term for an angered brownie is a bog rat. And that's when they become really mischievous and they're like, here's a pot of gold that's actually a pot of dead leaves. Or let me break all of your dishes. Or hey, how about I reach out to you from your fireplace and try to drag you into the fire and kill you. And then I'm going to steal your kid and make it my kid.
Those crazy bog rats.
So you're more I don't have an answer for you. My rule of thumb with any kind of dealings with Fae is just don't.
Just keep a gun close to you, I guess.
I sleep with an iron crowbar. I mean, there are people out there that that self-identify as what they call a Fae doctor. It is a very dying breed. We met one at Comic-Con Revolution last year. I don't know if you guys remember this, but we met a Fae doctor. And they're a very small dying breed. It's kind of like a witch doctor now or a shaman, whatever you want to do. But these people deal specifically with fae problems. And, I mean, I highly advise when you're dealing with any kind of the paranormal, unless you know what you're doing, you probably shouldn't. But when it comes to fae, I think I have to stress that more because they come off so nice. You know, you watch Peter Pan and you got Tinkerbell, right? Now imagine Tinkerbell just beating up on you and eating your flesh.
I've read that fan fiction.
Steve.
I never realized the doctor's part. Like, the witch doctor is a doctor of witches? Like, actually?
A witch doctor, I mean, they tend to deal with problems in a metaphysical sense, yes.
Yeah. I just go by that song.
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, thing, tang, walla, walla, big bang.
And that is how... Ooh, okay, we gotta stop. That's... I have to pay... rights after a certain amount of time.
Ting tang wall wall big bang.
Stop. Okay, you can bill your copyright claim to Steve Michaels.
I'm not making that national TV money yet, man. Come on.
All right, so you don't want brownies in your home to clean up after.
The only brownies I want are the ones Steve's making. That's about it.
Yeah, they're delicious. I can finish this up.
No, we're good.
Are you sure?
All right. I just want to say thank you so much, Steve, for coming out to Bob After Dark this week.
Bob, it was my pleasure to come back, to be back on the bad set. and to get to be back in my old seat, to work with you, to work with Panic. It's always a pleasure. So thank you so much.
Of course. When you told me you were coming on and I'm like, hey, we're not talking about like ghosts or aliens. We're talking about Faye. You're like,
yeah, whatever.
I'll do it. So I appreciate your enthusiasm on diving into topics that maybe are
a little
outside your realm of expertise.
Yeah. I mean, this is a little bit more outside of what Steve Michaels is used to doing and talking about and analyzing and all that. But, you know, you're never too old to learn something new, and to support family. So it's good to be back on. And,
you know, just for that, I'm gonna let you do it.
What? I could do it.
You could plug it.
Yes. Follow me on social media at Chicago Bear Hug. That's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and then. If you want to get your Steve Michaels Chi-Town Beatdown shirt or the Chicago Bear Steve Michaels shirt, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/Chicago Bear Hug. Don't forget to tune in to Ohio Valley Wrestling's first ever national TV broadcast on U2 America, April 3rd. It's a rough time slot. It's midnight Eastern and 9 Pacific. But make sure you tune in. It's also on Roku. So thank you.
Panic. Do you have any closing words?
I do. If you guys want to buy, I got a panic in the, not panic in the, Colin Panic shirt in my trunk. First one to show up to the parking lot tonight gets it for $20. That's a pretty good deal right there.
That's the most indie thing I've heard on this show in a long time. I like it.
Making towns.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Bob After Dark. Mom and Dad, I want to wish you guys sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the most important rule of Bob After Dark is not all who wander are lost. As above, so below.
Memoriam Development.